Welcome in, listeners. Welcome in. Lock the door behind you. It's time to get locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles. You are listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Check that. We're actually apparently the anti-Darren Sproles podcast. That's what Darren Sproles would tell you for people not knowing what I'm talking about. If you miss any of our podcasts, first off, you got to subscribe to the show. We got 4 to 5 a week. And if you are subscribed, if you're a consistent listener or on LockedOnEagles.com or on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, you would know that on Friday, the Eagles brought back Darren Sproles and me and Gino did a reaction podcast. And I've never really been crazy about bringing Sproles back this season. Find out on Saturday, I go to check out something that Sproles tweeted. And it looked like I've been blocked by Darren Sproles. So, yeah, apparently we are public enemy number one for Darren Sproles, the Locked On Eagles podcast. Didn't expect that. I guess Ronald Darby will probably be up next if he listens to the CB Wars podcast tomorrow. That's going to be a fun one. I know we've been teasing that for probably a month and a half now at this point. But with training camp starting in literally just a couple days now, guys, we have, from when I'm recording now, 2 days away, recording on this, you know, early Monday morning. It's so cool to see on Instagram how all these players are getting back in town. Fletcher Cox flying back in, DeSean Jackson. It's just such an football's back. Football's back, and I got my fantasy football draft coming up very soon. We're only less than three weeks away from the first preseason game for the Eagles. I cannot believe how fast the summer has gone and how quickly we are. I mean, it just feels like just yesterday, me and Gino and Lars were doing the live NFL draft show, and now look, we're literally gearing up for a 2019 season that's one of the most anticipated, if you ask me, in Eagles recent history for sure. But yeah, back to the Darren Sproles thing. You know, I guess Sproles checked out my Twitter account and didn't like that I said I wasn't a big fan of him coming back. But I was kind of confused because not only one, I don't think, and again, I'm not going to use this as some publicity stunt. I'm not going to, you know, crap on Darren Sproles or his reputation for what he is. And that's why I was confused, is because first off, I don't think Sproles is the kind of guy that would, you know, I know Brandon Graham kind of went on his block sprees in the past, kind of, you know, block out the noise. But if you listen to the podcast on Friday, if you even read any of my tweets when I explain why I didn't want Darren Sproles back, none of it had to do with him as a player. I said, if you listen to the show, that he is one of the most explosive playmakers of all time, and he still is a very dangerous threat. I mean, let me be straight right now. On the positive side with Darren Sproles coming back to the Eagles now are essentially 9-10 weapons deep if you also want to throw, you know, the likes of Corey Clement in there. And that's what we're, by the way, that's what we're going to get into today. I'm creating four really fun, creative offensive formations for Doug Peterson and the Eagles to work with here, considering they have so much talent, so much versatile talent, complementing styles, different styles. They have so many different offensive looks that they can do, and Darren Sproles really adds on to that. And look, whether they're a committee approach, whether they're a lead back approach in the running back room, in the backfield, no matter what now, bringing back Sproles as your third or fourth running back, however you do it, let me tell you, it is a lot better than what the Eagles' 2018 situation was, having to roll out the likes of before Sproles came back. It was Wendell Smallwood, it was Josh Adams, and you know, it was Corey Clement who was struggling for a while. So, I mean, again, I'm not all in on this is a disastrous move. It's only for a season, and if they use him the way that I hope they use him, it's going to be an excellent decision. The only reason I said I didn't want Darren Sproles back was because, for one, I'm not really crazy about running back by committee, and I think them bringing in Sproles now says, hey, we have four really talented running backs that have proven they can play on an NFL level, or for Miles Sanders, we've invested a second-round pick in this guy because we believe he can prove that down the road. And then that was the other thing, too, is because I'm a really big fan of Miles Sanders, and that kind of goes lines in toe-in-toe with not really being a big fan of the running back committee approach. I think you're always going to rotate running backs, but I like one guy that is clearly better than everybody else that stands out more, because I think when you have a player that is more talented than everybody else, that can be a great receiver, that can be a great runner, it not only makes you less predictable, but it also just makes you that much more dangerous. I feel like, I don't know, we'll find out if they've been a committee style based on necessity because they haven't had a lot of talent, or if it's because that's just what Doug likes to do. in 2017, like I said on Friday, there were times where it was frustrating when Jay Ajayi was not on the field after just continuing to be efficient with every single touch he had. So that's the kind of style I want more so is to have, sure, you can rotate. You know, if Darren Sproles is going to be your third running back and he beats out Corey Clement, fine. If he's your fourth guy and he's also your key punt returner and he gets, you know, 5 to 7 touches a game, that's fine. But for me, I'm nervous that he's going to dip more into RB2 touches for Miles Sanders. When you look at Darren Sproles and when he's been healthy, 19 of 24 games that he's been healthy the past couple years, he has played in at least 40% of the snaps. So that's my problem. It's never been with Darren Sproles the player. It's with the style of back I want, the approach I want them to take in the backfield, and also the way they use him when they're out, when he's on the field. I think they overuse him, simply plain put, for his style. I think that they use him too much. I think they depend on him a little bit too much, even when they're on the field. It makes the offense a little bit more simplistic than it should. Look, there's ways to be creative with him. We're going to do it on today's podcast. We're going to get into some formations where you can be creative with Darren Sproles. But a lot of the time, with not only Doug Peterson but Chip Kelly, it's not really creative. It's just relying on his pure, incredible, near Hall of Fame level talent. And again, that's the thing. It's never been a knock on him as a player, and that's why, I don't know. And again, I understand he's probably just, you know, he's using it as motivation for his final season. I get it. But it was never about Darren Sproles, the player. It was more so about just my personal preference for what I want the backfield to look like, how I want it to be used this year, and why I'm not freaking out, really, as I told Gino, is that it's only for a year. Darren Sproles is going to retire, and like I said, you don't take Miles Sanders in the second round to eventually not make him the quote-unquote feature back. Even if he's not a feature back like the Dallas Cowboys would use a feature back, I do think he'll eventually become that guy that gets the majority of the touches in the backfield when we're talking about Miles Sanders. So, no, I don't hate Darren Sproles. I was very thrown off when he blocked me on Saturday, but it's funny. I mean, I think I've been harder on guys like Ronald Darby, and I'm going to be even harder, or, you know, the likes of Jalen Mills. I'm a big fan of Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that'll get me blocked by Mills or Darby tomorrow on CB Wars. But, again, as I teased, today we're going to get into some offensive formations that I'm creating for the 2019 Eagles. I did this last year and I thought it was a really fun idea, but the problem with last year is they were so beat up the majority of the time on offense that they really didn't have the flexibility and the optionality with their offensive personnel. Whereas this year, you know, knock on wood, even if they have a couple injuries, with Darren Sproles now back, they have so much to work with. Carson Wentz has about a dozen players that are proven threats on offense, as we continue to say almost every show, because it's just, we've never seen the Eagles this deep, at least to start on paper. Of course, Malcolm Jenkins has said it. Alshon Jeffrey has said it to the press the past couple weeks. Everything is useless if they don't put it to the test on the field, right? We've seen great Eagles teams on paper before. It's time to put that to work now, starting this week at training camp. But before you do that, it's up to Doug Peterson now to utilize these guys in the best way possible, to put these players in the best position to succeed. And there is a lot of ways to do that on the offensive side of the ball. So coming up, we got segment two. I'm going to give you two offensive formations I created for the Eagles offense to work with this year. And then the third segment, we'll come back around with two more. I think it's a fun edition of the podcast. I know Darren Sproles won't be listening now at this point, but I'm glad you guys are all tuning in on this Monday edition of Locked In Eagles, starting up the first week of the real official start to the 2019 Eagles season. I know mini camp has already come and gone, but I really like to say that training camp is the official start of this playing season that is the 2019 NFL season. We'll be right back. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, and guys, we're sponsored today by Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service. All year round, they've got your back. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credits for your first 7 days. That's right, $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app now and use the code Locked On. That's Postmates app and use the code Locked On. You get $100 in free delivery credits. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll be right back. All right, listeners, welcome back. Locked On Eagles, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show. Gina will be back tomorrow on the Tuesday episode. Remember, stay tuned for that. It's the biggest position battle of Eagles training camp, the cornerback position, and we're getting into the CB Wars episode tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast because, once again, we got 4 or 5 shows a week, especially now that the season is up and ready to go. We're going to be cranking out a lot of content for you. There are Locked On podcasts that post as much as me, but there isn't an Eagles podcast out there that posts more than the Locked On Eagles podcast. We got you covered throughout the season. And today, what we got going on here are offensive formations for the Eagles, for Doug Peterson to be creative with, considering all of the talent they have. Let's start it up here with formation number one. I titled it The Towers. This one is specifically, I think, would be really nice for the red zone. The Eagles have been a really good red zone team throughout Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson's tenure with the Philadelphia Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, they've had a lot of big targets. And even not just the big targets in the passing game, but you look at the running backs too. In 2017, LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. This year you got Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles. Like we've said, a lot to work with here, but just imagine this in the red zone. The Eagles are lined up at the 10-5-yard line here, and they're going to decide to throw the football. Carson Wentz is in shotgun. Doug Peterson decides to drop the Towers formation here. Alshon Jeffrey and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on the outside. Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz in the slot, and you put Jordan Howard at running back. Who is stopping that lineup? That is so much size. That is so much route running, great hands, toughness. It's got everything you want. And you look at Arcega-Whiteside, he was his strength at Stanford consistently. His signature move was the post-up play in the back of the end zone. If a corner was behind him, they could not get in front of him to knock that ball down. He has such strong hands. I compare him to Anquan Boldin. We already know what Alshon Jeffrey could do. A lot of people call JJ a mini Alshon Jeffrey. You got Zach Ertz, one of the best tight ends in football in the slot. You got Dallas Goedert, who I think is going to have, I wouldn't call it a breakout sophomore year because I thought he was really good last year as well, and I don't think the numbers this year will constitute a breakout year, but when you tell the leap he'll take this year, that's how I think you'll define it as a breakout year. The fact that you have those four guys, I mean, let's look at just how tall each of those players are here. I mean, Alshon at 6'3", J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at 6'3", Zach Ertz, 6'5", Dallas Goedert, 6'5". You have four receivers out there in the red zone or anywhere. I mean, it could be a 3rd-and-3 and you're going to decide to throw that football, or you can decide to run it. You got those guys as blockers as well for a Jordan Howard in the backfield, a big running back in his own right. But hypothetically, in a passing situation, you got four targets that are 6'3 plus. I mean, there is not a defense out there that has the personnel to stop that. I mean, one of those guys is going to get lined up with a corner. Multiple guys are going to get lined up with corners, and that's going to be a mismatch. It's why it's such an advantage to have all these complementing styles, because I don't know a defense that's going to have as much variety as this Eagles offense does. So that is the first formation here that I think they're definitely going to consider using at some point, even if it's just in the red zone. The Towers lineup of Alshon Jeffrey, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, and Jordan Howard at running back is a terrifying formation for opposing defenses. Another one here before we take a break, formation two, I call this D-backs. This is Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz on the outside. You have Nelson Agholor in the slot, his traditional position. I'm putting Miles Sanders in the backfield, but I'm not only just putting Miles Sanders in the backfield. I'm putting DeSean Jackson in the backfield. They're on opposite sides of Carson Wentz here. You could do the same thing with Sproles as well and maybe put Jackson on the outside instead of Ertz, so there's speed everywhere. In that hypothetical, you'd have DeSean, Alshon, and Agholor, and then Miles Sanders and Sproles in the backfield. I mean, the run after the catch ability there, the explosiveness in that formation is great too. But why I wanted to use this D-backs formation is I went back, and the other day I posed a question on Twitter what DeSean Jackson's most impressive individual performance was, his first stint with the Eagles. And I decided there was a few. I mean, there was that really big Giants game on Sunday Night Football in 2009. There was, the game where he had over 200 receiving yards against the Dallas Cowboys in 2010. But then I stumbled upon that Vikings loss in Minnesota in 2013, where Deshaun was used everywhere. Chip Kelly broke out the style of using Deshaun that I had never seen before. Not only did he play him on the outside, where he has become one of the best deep threats of all time, but he also used him in the slot, where Deshaun's very effective, run after the catch. He is very underrated, not only as a route runner, not only with his hands, but when you get this guy a 10-yard pass, he has ability to juke out defenders. I mean, he doesn't, his escapability, I don't think, gets enough credit, because everyone's so just infatuated with his explosiveness and his home run hitting, that when Chip Kelly decided to use him in a different way here, I was salivating looking at the way that he was used against Minnesota. And another little kind of way Chip changed it up was by putting him in the backfield next to LeSean McCoy, who a lot of people compare to Miles Sanders. When you have those two guys that are incredibly dangerous, run after the catch with the ball in their hand in the backfield, they kept lining him up. Deshaun kept getting paired up with a linebacker or a safety who had to come down the field, and that's a mismatch in favor of Deshaun Jackson. They could do that similarly again here with Miles Sanders in the backfield and try to get Deshaun matched up on some different positions that aren't corners. And that's a big way to do this. You could use wheel routes down the field with Deshaun Jackson. I mean, that's a scary way to do this. I think with Deshaun Jackson back here now in this 2.0 version of himself in Philadelphia, what's going to come with it, because they have so much optionality here, because they're not paying him to be that wide receiver one, they're not riding and dying with him as their top go-to guy, I think it gives you more flexibility to move him around the formation and use him in creative ways to find more ways to get the ball in his hands. And this is one I really like. I call it the D-backs, D-B-A-X, instead of D-Jax. It's Alshon and Ertz on the outside, Nelly inside, and then Miles Sanders and Deshaun Jackson in the backfield next to Carson Wentz. I saw it against Minnesota. That was probably the most impressed I've ever been of Deshaun Jackson, was against the Vikings. He, I think, had 9 or 10 touches that game, and they were all across the formation. I would love for Doug Peterson. Peterson has taken a page out of Kelly's playbook before with Nick Foles. I'd love it if he did it again with Deshaun Jackson. All right, let's take one more break here. We'll wrap up the show with two more offensive formations for Doug Peterson to try to use in 2019. Don't go anywhere. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, we're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Louis DiBiase here, Monday edition of the show. We got about probably four more this week with training camp coming up. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can make sure each and every day on your commute to work, maybe you're taking the kids to baseball or football, wherever you're listening, however you're listening, just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles, and you'll get us in your phone, on your computer as well. If you go to LockedOnEagles.com or on Twitter, just follow us at Locked On Birds or our personal accounts at DiBiase LOE or at Gino_LOE. So to recap the first segment here with the offensive formations I went with that I created for this 2019 offense, one, the Towers, Alshon Jeffrey, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Dallas Goedert, and Zach Ertz with Jordan Howard at running back. Then formation two, it's called D-backs, Alshon and Ertz on the outside, Aguilar in the slot, and then you put Miles Sanders and Deshaun Jackson next to Carson Wentz in the backfield. And there's also another way you could do that formation by continuing to maintain that speed identity for this formation, and it's by putting Darren Sproles next to Miles Sanders, push Deshaun Jackson on the outside instead of Ertz, then you got Deshaun and Aguilar with Alshon as your receivers, you put Sproles and Miles Sanders in the backfield, you get those guys matched up with linebackers one-on-one down the field or with safeties. I like those advantages, but Deshaun, again, that Minnesota game, he had 16 targets. Nick Foles was going after Deshaun Jackson. He was trying to get him the ball, and it wasn't just on the outside, it was in the slot, but it was also in the backfield. I believe it was actually Andrew Sandejo, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I'm almost positive the other day when I was going through the film that it was Deshaun Jackson against Andrew Sandejo, because they had to bring the safety down with Deshaun Jackson being a receiver out of the backfield. They couldn't line him up one-on-one with corners. It's a really cool idea that, you know, Chip Kelly, for everything that he did wrong. One thing he did do right in 2013, one thing that he knew how to do was get the most out of his wide receivers. I mean, that's the case. The problem was is that that turned into this ego, this big head that, for him, kind of turned him into believing that a lot of these wide receivers were expendable, that it was all Chip Kelly, and that none of it was DeSean Jackson or Jeremy Maclin. But in fairness, I mean, he got DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, their best years of their careers were 2013 and 2014, and it was their only years in Chip Kelly's offense. So I think Doug Peterson, again, Peterson doesn't have that kind of ego where he would refuse to do something just because a previous regime had done it. He changed up the entire offense for Nick Foles down the stretch in 2017. It was a huge part of why they were able to win the Super Bowl. And he went back to the 2013 film. What did Chip Kelly do best for Nick Foles? I think he could do the same thing here with DeSean Jackson and try to put him in the backfield like Chip Kelly did in 2013. I got two more offensive formations for you here before we wrap up the show. This third one here is called Stretch 'Em, and this is all about getting the ball down the field. I put DeSean Jackson and Nelson Agholor in the slot. DeSean Jackson in reduced splits, when you put him closer towards the offensive line, that allows him more space to work with to gash defenses down the field. Here, he's played out of the slot. I mean, a lot of his big plays last year to start the first couple weeks in Tampa Bay when him and Fitzpatrick started off on fire, DeSean Jackson was making a lot of those big plays in the slot. So we're going to put him and Nelson Agholor inside, because when you have the ability, when you have a slot receiver that can hit the home run shot inside, that stretches out the defense in a way that it's such an advantage for the offense. And then I'm putting it, look, Alshon Jeffrey is going to be my wide receiver one. He is on the outside in almost every formation here. And then I put JJ on the other outside here, the rookie wide receiver. Not, you know, again, you don't have to be a DeSean Jackson speed receiver or a Nelson Agholor to make big plays down the field. We know that because of Alshon Jeffrey. JJ is the same way. He's got incredible footwork, his release, his explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. He is able to create separation quickly, but if he can't, he's got that huge catch radius, those strong hands, that tough. He is going to be such a tough cover for defenders that you put him and Alshon on the outside with the two speed demons inside. With, let's say hypothetically you put Darren Sproles at running back. When you're looking to take the big shot, I could really see a formation like that with Doug Peterson going in that direction. So I really like that one. It's called Stretch 'Em. All right, formation four here, wrapping up today's Locked on Eagles. This one I just called Run. It's kind of in honor of that vine, I don't know if anybody knows, with all the umbrellas blowing away on the beach, and there's that guy that tries to spear one of them. And there's that, you know, the joke Run song in the background. And why I made it called Run is because in this formation, and it's a pretty simple one, it's not anything crazy, but we talked about how a defense is going to find a way to match up with this Eagles offense. Imagine this. We're not going to use a running back here. We're going to go empty sets. Alshon Jeffrey, here's one side. Alshon Jeffrey on the outside. Next to him is Dallas Goedert. And then next to Dallas Goedert is Nelson Agholor. You got three receivers on one side. Then we're going to go with two on the other, DeSean Jackson and Zach Ertz. Empty set, no running backs. You get all five of your top targets out there, not including JJ, not including Arcega Whiteside, not including Darren Sproles, not including Miles Sanders. We're going heavy pass in this situation. That is a formation that if the Eagles need to get back into a football game, they're going to have as good a chance as anybody in the NFL. So that empty set look here, if they're looking to go pass heavy, oh man, Alshon, Goddard, Agholor one side. On the other side, you got DeSean Jackson and Zach Ertz. Whew, a little blast from the past with Ertz and DeSean on one side, and then kind of the newbies with Alshon, Goddard, and Agholor. But regardless, Carson Wentz has no excuses not to put up crazy numbers in 2019. And I think a good way to do that is by continuing to be creative. If you're Doug Peterson, continuing to have new ideas on the offensive side of the football to continue this trend of increased production on the offensive side of the ball, just in the league in general. And I think Doug Peterson's kind of leading the way with that. Of course, Sean McVay gets more credit than he does, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy. But I think Doug Peterson, he's a very creative mind. He's a very open-minded head coach that a lot of these formations, I would not be surprised at all if he tries to experiment with some of these. I'm going to put them on the website. I'm going to write a lot of them down so you can kind of look at them on paper as well. But we hope you enjoyed this edition of the podcast. I had a lot of fun doing it last year. And I think this year I had even more fun putting these four formations together because the talent this year is just even better than it's been the past couple years. And they've been pretty deep for about 2 years now, ever since that dreadful 2016 supporting cast. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you could, leave us a 5-star rate and a review. It's how we grow the show. We've appreciated everybody that has done that for us so far. And also, keep the conversation going. If you have any creative formations that you thought of for the Eagles offense, if this inspired you to do that as well, hit us up. Let us know what your formations are on Twitter at LockedOnBirds or at DiBiase, L-O-E. We will be back tomorrow with Gino and CB Wars. As always, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds, baby.